Good evening. My name is Keith, and I am an alcoholic. And my home group is the Wednesday night Big Book Study Group. I was at church on Sunday, and I do that these days. And they had a guest singer who came from Tennessee to sing. And before she started singing, she gave a little bit of her testimony. And towards the end of her testimony, she had said she got a phone call from a person, and he had asked her, so what's your mission statement with your music or whatever? And she proceeded to tell them, she wants to go out and spread the word and all that stuff. And that hit me. And just now back there praying with Joe, it came to me even more. Like, what's my mission statement up here? My mission statement basically is to talk to the newcomer. Like, I love everybody in this room. I love everybody who's got time. But I want to touch the person who doesn't know, like the newcomer, to let them know that there's a way out, that I too was once just like you. I said it last week, when, and Booty told me not to talk about it last week, but just a little piece. Like, I was deathly afraid when Rachel asked me a couple months ago. Like, I turned white literally when she asked me. And that is not a lie. Like, she had said, Keith, what do you think about these 12 step series? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm here every Tuesday for the last four speakers. And she's like, no. What about doing it? And I was like, man. And I had said, I got to think about it. And, but it's not about me. I'm not Peter. I'm not my best friend Joe. I'm not Russell. I'm Keith. And so I'm going to give you my experience with this. I'm going to, again, I want to talk to the newcomer. So you new old people, don't take it personal. I want them to know that there is a way out. So tonight I'm supposed to be talking about step three, but I want to touch on the first two proposals because it's very important that we understand, or that I understood what I was up against when I got here and what I'm about to do as far as making that decision. What decision I'm about to make? Why do I have to make this decision? He just read How It Works, and it talked about these three pertinent ideas. And you hear it at every AA meeting. I talked about it last week. You hear it at every AA meeting pretty much. And it says, A, that we're alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. What does that mean? And, until I understood what my problem was, why would I seek this power? Why would I want to seek this God thing? And in the first four chapters, it talked about what my problem was. That's how important Bill thought this was, that I understood what I was up against. My first week doing this, I told you I read the doctor's opinion, and I found out what my problem was. I found out that I had an allergy to the body, that when I put alcohol, or if you're a crackhead or whatever you put that in your system, it sets up this physical demand for more, this physical craving. And I got that, man. I mean, I got that. Because for years, I didn't know I was an alcoholic. And for years, people, hinted to it. You might have a problem. You drink too much. And I'm like, no, because I'm not an alcoholic. But that's not my problem, After all my 20 years of drinking and drugging, I can sit here and say I don't have an alcoholic problem. It's crazy. Given my three DUIs, given my going to the Marines to please my father because, Rochester was messed up. Given the fact that when I got out of the Marine Corps, I'm a 21-year-old man still living at home with my mom and still doing the same things, nothing changed, but I still think that I can fix this thing, like self-will fix it. So I decided to go to Georgia because, again, it was Rochester that was messed up, so maybe if I go to Georgia, it'll be different. And I get down there and I do what I do, man. That's what I was, So if I didn't put it in my system, I couldn't get messed up. So I could buy into that. It made sense. For the first time in my life, it made sense when somebody described that to me. But again, that's just a half of the first step. See, my problem is my thinking. I have this thing coming to my head that tells me that I don't have that problem. Or it'll be different this time. Or nobody will know. And I had all that, man. I had, I'm in jail for those three DUIs. And every time I got out of jail, like the first 89 days I'm in jail, I'm like, I'm never drinking again, man. It was bad. I'm never doing that again. Lord, get me out of this, man. I swear I'll never do it again. Like, I was saying those foxhole prayers. And I kid you not, the day I got picked up from jail, it wasn't let's go to a meeting. It wasn't let's go home. get a home-cooked meal. No, let's go to the bar and party. Let's celebrate me getting out of jail. And that's what I did, man. And so I got that. And I look back over my history and my, and I can see it, man. Like, I don't have to go to a speaker meeting to hear my story. I don't have to go to 90 and 90. I don't have to do none of that stuff. I can just look at my own past, look at my own evidence, my own truth, my truth. And if it lived for me, then great. What am I going to do? If it didn't live for me, the book tells me, go out and try some more controlled drinking or controlled whatever it is you do. And so that's the first step, man. That's step one. I got it. Crystal clear. But I'm hard-headed. I'm defiant. I'm hard-headed. I don't want to be one of you guys. I don't want to do this thing. And so I get with some guys, man, who are armed with the facts about themselves in this program, like it talks about in the book. And, you know, the book talks about in step two, came to believe in a power greater than yourself can restore your sanity. I didn't know what they were talking about. You know, I didn't know. I know, I mean, power greater than yourself has to be God or whatever, but again, I come in here hardwired about the God thing. I come in here with preconceived ideas about the God thing. And in step two, I had to get step one, obviously, but in step two, I had to understand that it's not telling me to believe right this second. But at the same time, I could see, and if I look back over my life, and as I've done the last 10 years, I could see where God, even though I didn't know at the time, was doing things for me that I couldn't understand. Like, for one, I didn't kill anybody during my drinking and driving. Like, there were times I would drive home from the bar in a blackout. Wake up the next morning with one shoe on, one shoe off, didn't know how I got there. And it's just amazing that I didn't kill anybody. He also, I believe, you know, he put this woman in my life. I talked about it the first week. Her name was Lorna Mays. And not an alcoholic, not a, you know, just a 50-year-old black woman I met at Applebee's. And she was my angel. And at the time, I would have never said that. I didn't know, but God had put her in my life, I see today. And that was my angel. And I still, you know, didn't believe. Like, I get to solutions. I'm not buying into what Joe's telling me. I just figure I'm going to figure this out. It's a little four-month sabbatical. Because I'm saying, I'm on probation already in Georgia. I'm just going to smoke weed. I never got in trouble smoking weed. I never got in trouble. And I didn't get DUIs when I smoked weed. As a matter of fact, I was more cognizant when I was smoking weed. You know, more relaxed. More undisturbable, as Russell would say, when I was smoking that stuff. And that was my idea. Like, I'm going to get off probation, and I'm just going to smoke weed. I'm going to do my 4 months of solutions, and I'm going to be good. But God had other plans, man. And I'm sitting at solutions. And again, Keith is very hard-headed when he got here. He's very defiant. And he wants to do things his way. Because I'm 35 years old, and there's no grown man going to tell me what to do. You know, I'm living in your house. I'm not paying you rent. My mom's paying your rent. But my mom is paying Joe every Friday. But I know what I need to do. I'm going to figure this thing out. You just got to give me a roof over my head. I wasn't working, you know. I come in here, I'm lazy, I'm irresponsible. My word means nothing. I'm a 35-year-old kid, but you can't tell me that. You can't tell me nothing. And especially Joe, you know. And he hates what I do, but he's an angel that God put in my life, and I love him to death. He's my best friend. Everything I'm talking about here up here today was taught to me. So I'm talking, and I'm listening to Joe. You know, we have a house meeting on Monday nights. We're sitting in a circle. I know what he's going to say, when he's going to say it. I'm like, he don't understand, you know. He's a 55-year-old white man from West Palm. West Palm Beach, you know. He can't understand me. I'm from upstate New York. I'm from the hood. Not really, but that's what I'm telling myself. I'm from the ghetto, but not really. And so, you know, I'm just not buying what he's selling, man. I'm thinking this is all Pollyanna crap. I just know I'm going to figure this thing out. Because I'm a survivor, you know what I'm saying? Like, if that's one thing about us alcoholics, drug addicts, we are survivors. Like, everything about the first step tells me I got to surrender. I got to give up. I got to admit defeat. And that goes against everything we're taught. I speak for myself, everything I was taught. And then I go to the Marines, and that's more macho crap. So when I get out, you know, I'm a devil dog, and nothing can hurt me. So I got a whole bunch of stuff against me. So I'm in solutions and, you know, this come to believe stuff. I'm seeing things happen. I'm seeing, you know, I'm watching guys go out left and right. For some reason, I'm not going out. Mind you now, I'm not doing anything. for recovery. I'm not engaged in the program. I'm just complying with the house rules. I'm just making my bed when I have to. I'm just like doing my chore half, you know what I'm saying, when I have to. I'm making the meetings at the 101 right down the street, and I'm quick to tell you how many meetings I've been to that week. I'm going there for all the wrong reasons. And I want to apologize for my comment last week, because I made a comment about a certain establishment and the women, and I called them a name that I shouldn't have called them. Very disrespectful, was pointed out to me by somebody dear to me. So I apologize if you're in Maureen's house tonight. Yeah, I was wrong for saying what I said. But anyway, so I'm going to these meetings, and you know, I'm hearing different things and stuff. I'm getting a solution at solutions, and I'm getting a mess up at the 101. But I don't know it's the mess, you know. I'm hearing things like 90 and 90, meeting makers make it, you know, stay out of relationships. Like, whoa. Stay out of relationships? What are you talking about, Joe? I got a problem with drinking and drugging, not with my love life, you know. Because when I get here, everybody wants this, you know what I'm saying? Like, I got it going on. No job, no bank account, no license. I can't take a girl out. Can't bring her back to my place. You know, I brag about my house, you know. This is me wearing a mask. Like, this is me performing for you guys. Like, where you stay at? Oh, I live in Pompano. Got a pool, got a basketball court, tennis courts. But I ain't telling you it's a halfway house. You know? But I'm seeing, man. I'm seeing, and I'm still not buying, dude. I'm still not buying. And see if you relate to this, newcomers. I'm at the house for 6 months. I'm not doing anything. And I'm supposed to be on the spiritual journey, right? And I'm still not buying the God thing. Like, I'm still thinking I could beat the game. I'm still thinking there's an easier, softer way. And I'm not buying. But I see God working. I see God working in a couple guys' lives at the house. I hear Joe's story, and I hear where he's, and now I've got evidence from another gentleman that was important in my life, John W., and he was sitting down telling me things about Joe. And the way this man lived his life for so many years, and the man he is today, I'm like, man, there might be something to this thing, but I'm still not buying. So I'm in the house for 6 months, and you know, I'm at that fork in the road, because Joe, and by this time, he stopped taking money from my mother. Like, again, my idea about a halfway house and about what these guys stand for is, as long as you're getting paid, I can do whatever I want to do. You know what I mean? As long as you're getting that rent check, just leave me alone. He wasn't having that. He told me 3 weeks into the deal, or a month maybe, so I might take another check from your mother. What are you talking about, Joe? What do you mean? It's time for you to grow up. He would tell me things like that, and I wouldn't listen, man. I was not trying to hear what he was saying, because I just, you know, I didn't know. I didn't know that my life was on the line. I didn't know that I was a dead man walking, literally. Like, everybody talks about, you know, some people, they want their old life back when they come in here. Like, I just want my life back. I just want my life back. Not me. Because I literally remember my last 72 hours out there. I remember the hotel room I was in on Northwest 31st. I remember the feelings I had. I remember wanting to kill myself. I remember thinking, man, if I killed myself right now, nobody would know. And I just want to end it. Like, that's where my mindset was. That's how ravaged my mind was when I got here. So having the opportunity to go to Solutions, it was a chance at life, but I wasn't taking advantage of it. And I see it happen all the time, you know. All the time. So just come to believe, you know, and as I further get along the book, and I have my little spiritual awakening 6 months in, and I'm about to get kicked out of the halfway house, and God again shows up in my life, and I don't even know it, you know. Joe's sponsor shows up at the house that day. I'm getting kicked out that day. I know that for sure. Joe knows that for sure, but God had other plans. He had John Williams show up at the house, and I walk in the house, and like, I can remember, people don't know, like, a lot of people don't remember when they had that switch, that let's say your commitment level just skyrocketing when you're committed to this thing. I know exactly where I was and what time it was when my whole outlook on life changed, when my whole attitude changed. Because my attitude was sorry when I got here. And John gave me a shot that night. And my life hasn't been the same since. So there's, again, God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And I still didn't believe, man. I still didn't buy into the deal. I just knew, okay, now it's time to do some work. Because I've been hearing, well, if I put in to this thing, I'm going to get amazing results. So we got step one and two. You know, step one and two is just reflection, man. It's not me, you know, writing down, answering 100 questions. It's not me doing, you know, all that stuff. It's just coming to some conclusions. Do I have this thing? Yes, I do. Have I been able to fix myself? No, I have not. Has there been any human being in this world that could fix me what I have? The answer is no. You know, I got arrested down here. Wherever I've been arrested. You know, I've been separated from alcohol and drugs for 90 days at a time, 160 days for a time. I've been in the ATAC program in Conti. I've been separated from booze and drugs for lots of times, for a good amount of time. And every time I was separated and I came out of those institutions, I picked up again. Why was that? I was very sincere when I was in jail, and I meant it, man. I meant that I'm not going to do it again. Like, please, I'm not going to do it. Why would I do it again? Because I always ended up in jail. I always ended up with DUIs, and I always ended up in trouble. So why would any sane human being do that to themselves? So in step two, it says, come to believe in the power of greater than yourself can restore me to sanity. What sanity they're talking about? It's not the insane things I did after I put the booze in my system. That's just a consequence of, you know, the action. It's not insane for me being homeless. It's not insane for me being 3 DUIs and still driving. It's not insane all the geographical cures. It's insane knowing that first step, knowing that information in the first step, knowing that when I pick up, I can't stop. And when I'm stopped, I can't stop starting. And I pick up anyway, that's insane. And only you can answer that self if you're crazy or not. Because I'm crazy when it comes to drinking and drugging. So I'm coming to believe, because it's been, now I'm in the house for like 6 months, and I haven't had a drink in 6 months. I'm coming to believe a little bit. And the funny thing about this God thing, like, you know, again, hardwired to what I think God is and who I think God is, and I talked about it the first week. You know, I condemned the whole religious community and the whole God thing on 3 people in the 80s. But mind you now, I'm dying when I get here. I'm told I got to find this God of my understanding. But I ain't going to believe that. I'm not going to have faith in what you're telling me. None of that. But I have faith, like, in other things. Like, I had faith in things, just not the things that would save my life. Like, I had faith in DirecTV. Let me explain that. Satellite dish, right? I turn my television on, it comes on. I don't question it. I just know it's going to happen. I know when I hit that power button, it's coming on. Unless I didn't pay my bill. But it's coming on. I don't know how it works. There's a beam that hits off the satellite up in the sky. I just know it works. I don't question it. Nothing. I have faith that when I get home from work and I turn, go in the refrigerator and open the refrigerator, the light's going to come on and it's going to be cold. I have faith in that. I don't know how it happens. I just know it is. Little mundane things I have faith in. But now when you tell me, Keith, you're dying, and the only way out of this thing is to find a God of your understanding or to seek this power source, I want to question it, right? I want to question it. I want to debate it. I want to argue it because you just don't understand me. I know better. You know what I mean? I want to fight for that which I don't know and argue for the limitations I already set on myself. That, again, is insane, right? But that's me. That's the sum total of who you got when I showed up on the scene. That's Keith Neal in a nutshell. A 35-year-old kid. Irresponsible. Word means nothing. A taker. Very selfish. Very self-centered. Very selfish and self-centered. For 7 years, I drank for 20 years, but for 7 years, my mother didn't know if I was dead or alive or not. Right? No, I didn't have her paying for treatment centers and all that stuff. But at least then she would know where I was. For 7 years, this woman didn't know if I was dead or alive. And she gets a phone call one night for the first time from a stranger. And that's how she sees me for the first time. And I can't stay sober for her, right? You know, I had, you know, the book talks about the frothy emotional appeal. I had that from her and Lorna. But I couldn't stay sober for them. You know, it just wasn't going to be. Even though I had sincere intentions, it was just not possible. So I got step one and step two down, and now we come to step three. And for a long time, I had minimized step three, my experience of it. Like, because I'm thinking, as I tell my story during my first couple of years in sobriety, that all I'm doing in step three is making decisions to my will and my life over the care of God as I understand them. Basically, just doing the rest of the work. But that's not what I'm doing. Somebody dear to me told me, you know, showed me that I'm minimizing what I'm making the decision to do. Because for the longest time, hell, for my whole life, I ran the show, right? I was a captain of my vessel, and I did a great job, as you can see. So in step three, it's telling me I'm turning my will, which is my thoughts and my life, which is my actions over the care of God that I understood them. What am I saying in that step? Like, if we break it down and the book talks about it, you know, self-will run riot. I come in here very selfish, very self-centered. Again, I got my own script the book talks about. I'm like the actor that wants to run the whole show. And it's just not working. It's just not working how I'm doing things. And so I do this stuff, you know what I mean? I come to find out on a daily basis for the last 10 years of my recovery, I do step three every day. And do I do it perfectly every day? No, I do not. Do I take my will back? All the time, but not to the point where I want to relapse. So what am I talking about in step three? What is going to be the decision I'm making? Because the book is setting it up for, you know, we get it by now. I get it by now that it's all about God. It's either God is everything or he's nothing, as we agnostics talks about. Am I going to seek this power? Am I going to seek this thing that's going to save my life? Well, again, for 6 months, I wouldn't seek it. I wanted it the easier, softer way, like I talked about. And so, you know, it talks about once being convinced we're not step three after how it works. What am I convinced of? I'm convinced that the way I was running things, it wasn't going to end well. I'm going to keep doing what I've always done. I'm going to keep getting what I always got. What's the choice to be? Like, if you're new in here, and you think about it, you look at your own past and your own history. How many treatment centers is this for you? Doing it your way. How many halfway houses is it for you? Doing it your way. You know, I was taught that I could do anything I want in this program. I could do anything I want. As long as I'm willing to pay the price for it. And I think a lot, I mean, for me, and like the first week I had asked, who here knows somebody that has died as a direct result of drugs and alcohol? And pretty much everybody's hand went up. There's people dying left and right. But there's also people surviving. Again, there's people out here who refuse to give into this way of life, who refuse to even consider a God of our understanding. You know, they talk about being prejudiced against the spiritual thing that they're talking about. Now, before I got to recovery, I had made up what prejudice meant. You know, when you say the word prejudice to me, I'm thinking you're talking about racism. I'm thinking you're talking about Rodney King and you know, I'm thinking about the cops when I got pulled over. DWB. Driving while black. I didn't know what they were talking about. Being prejudiced against this thing, what does that do? I'm prejudging. I'm making up what you're talking about. I'm thinking you're telling me, well, Keith, you got to go back to the God that you grew up with. And that's not what it's saying. It's not what it's saying at all. So many times Bill says, choose your own conception of God. When I was growing up, I didn't have a choice in the matter. You know, when I was born, I didn't have a choice in what I was going to do as far as God, as far as worship. I was thrown into the mix, and this is what you're going to do. My family was Southern Baptist. So that means you go to church for 6 hours on Sundays from 9 to 3.
Yes.
They're talking in tongues. They're getting up with the Holy Ghost. So I'm like, man. So when I'm hearing this thing about God, that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing that, and I'm like, man, nah, I can't get over with that. There's got to be another way. But again, if you're not with somebody who's armed, man, then you're not going to know. Because I didn't know. That's not what he's saying to me. You know, once I got sober, this is how sick I am. And I'm sitting up here talking about, you know, giving in, turning my will over to God and all this stuff. The longer I'm sober, the more narrow the road gets. And the more we get our will back. The book tells me. Like, the more, peep this out, the more dependent I'm on God, the more independent I become. If that makes sense. So I'm in this deal for 4 years. I'm doing the deal. I'm sponsoring guys. Me and Joe are running solutions, and I'm doing the deal, man. And I think I got this thing. I think I got it. I'm good. So my best friend in the world just says, you know, he sees. He sees me. He sees me slacking. He sees me drifting back. He comes to me one Friday. I think Russell was doing the steps at the 101 Club. And he says, you know, they're having this Easter service at Lockhart Stadium at Calvary Chapel. You want to go? No. No, I do not. He said, okay, let it go. The next day, same thing. Next 4 days, same question. So Russell's doing the steps Friday night outside the 101, and you know Russell draws a crowd, man. And mind you, I'm 4 years sober. But my attitude, ideas, and beliefs start creeping back in. Not creeping back in, they're still there as far as church, God, you know. I finally got to my understanding because I've been sober for 4 years, but I'm still letting the past dictate my future, if that makes sense. So Joe comes to me after the meeting and he says, gets right in my face. Couldn't wait till we got back home. Like, for some reason, he just saw fit to come at me at the 101 Club. And he asked me again, and I'm like, no. And he got right in my face, and I'm not going to tell you the words he said, but not a nice conversation. And I was so pissed, man. Here's a man who practically helped save my life, you know, led me to this thing called recovery. And here he is coming at me. Like, who the hell does Joe think he is, right? Who does Joe think he is? He's a man that took a stand for me, right? Saw me sliding backwards and saw that and came at me with something different. And he got in my face, and again, my sick thinking, I'm with a friend of mine, Mark E. And I go to him with it, and I'm, you know, I know he's going to buy my doo-doo because I seek, you know. Stevie B talks about going to water seeks water. So this guy I know ain't doing a deal, so he's going to buy my victimhood when I go to him about Joe being the a-hole that he is, attacking me. He's going to buy it, hook, line, and sinker. And sure enough, I reeled him in with it. Let's go to the casino, Keith. Very spiritual place to go when you're pissed off. So we go to the aisle. And I'm telling you, this is another where God shows up again. Because in the past, I wouldn't have thought about Joe. I wouldn't have considered what he was saying. It would have been like, I'm right, he's wrong. Who the hell does he think he is? I'm sober, I'm doing a deal, look at me. Patting myself on the back, taking the credit for all this. And Mark's just feeding my ego. He's just feeding me. Yeah, Joe's an asshole. In my ear for like an hour. And then I had a moment of clarity. Like, God had spoken to me or something. Like, what are you doing? And I looked at Mark. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing? I go, man, I got to go home. You got to take me home. So I get back home, and I knock on the door, and I go into Joe's office. And I said, yeah, I'll try it. I'll try going to church with you on Sunday. We go to church that Sunday, and I swear, it's like Pastor Bob was in our house that week. Because the message, like, spoke right here. And I've been back ever since. Like, I start my Sunday mornings out with God. No matter what I'm doing the night before, I get up at 6:30 in the morning and drive from Delray to Pompano. And there's churches up there in Boca. There's churches in Boynton, Calvary, Little Satellites. But that's where I met, you know, God on a different term, 4 years sober. And I go back there now. Every day I turn my will over to God. Like, I don't take credit for this thing. You know, I see a lot of times people let AA take them out. I mean, the stuff that AA gave them take them out. Nothing I say up here is original. The moment I stop seeking, I'm going backwards. And if I'm not growing, I'm going. I haven't found it necessary to take a drink or a drug in 10 years. I don't say that to brag. I don't take credit for that because I know who gets the credit. Today, I know who gets the credit. If you're in treatment, relapse is not a requirement. You know, you hear, keep coming back. Keep coming back. Don't leave before the miracle happens. All this stuff that doesn't serve you. I'm here to tell you the disease wants you dead. It wants you dead. It wants me dead. It wants us all dead. I don't have the power, even though I'm 10 years removed from this thing, I don't have the power to not pick up a drink or drug again. If I'm not seeking, if I'm not doing things on a daily basis, like, for instance, who am I hanging around with? Because I heard Russell say, you can tell a lot about a person by who he's hanging around with, right? Everybody that I deal with, as far as not work-wise, but outside that deal, is doing the deal. Like, I don't hang around people with the drama. I don't hang around people that are going to strip clubs. None of that stuff. Because I know, once I start cutting corners, once I start cheating a little bit, a little vicarious pleasure, so to speak, as they call it, I'm compromising myself. And once I start to compromise, and just look at your own past, where have you compromised before once you got out of treatment or once you got out of a halfway house? Because, again, we come in here, I believe we're very intent. Our intention is to get sober. Like, we mean that stuff. But our commitment level sucks. Again, I'll speak for myself. My commitment level sucks. What are we telling a newcomer? I said it last week. I'm not going to sit up here and bash the people that say meeting makers make it, because maybe they don't know. Maybe they weren't told the truth. Maybe they're staying sober on meetings, you know? But my book tells me if you're staying sober just on meetings alone, then you're not a real alcoholic. You might be a hard drinker. You know, you might have got a couple DUIs and Judge Stanley Kaplan sends you to come to AA for a couple of meetings to get the paper signed. But the book tells me there's no middle-of-the-road solution. Either God is everything or he's nothing. What's my choice to be? We all have a choice to make if you're doing this deal. Like, this could be your last sober house. This could be your last treatment center. What are you doing for your recovery? Ask yourself that. What are you doing for your recovery? Are you seeking this thing like a drowning man seeks a life preserver? Because for so long, I didn't do that. And by the grace of God, I didn't drink. I know that today. By the grace of God, I did not pick up a drink. I stand before you today a blessed man. You know, the book talks about And this is where we're going to right now. It says, so our troubles we think are basically of our own making. Again, when I got here, it was everybody else's fault when my life sucked. As I come to find out, and as I'm going to find out in the next step, that I altered everything that happened in my life. I'm selfish, self-centered to the max. They arise out of ourselves, and the alcoholic is an extreme example of self-will run riot. Though he doesn't think so. Above everything, we alcoholics must be rid of selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible. That's not me saying that, you know. It's not my sponsor, it's not Joe. None of us saying that. That's what Bill Wilson came to believe, came to know. And there often seems no way of entirely getting rid of self without his aid. Many of us have had moral and philosophical convictions galore, but we could not live up to them even though we had liked to. So no matter what my do the next right thing, and no matter what I'm portraying to you, you know, because when I got here, everything I did was a motive, right? If I was being nice to you, if I was doing something nice for you, it was a payoff of me doing that. That didn't keep me sober, though. It says, neither can we reduce our self-centeredness much by wishing or trying on our own willpower. Everybody's got their own evidence of that. I just explained mine. It says, we had to have God's help. And here it is in a nutshell. This is the how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Right? Like Joe likes to so eloquently say, when I look in the mirror in the morning, when I get here, I got to fire that person in the mirror because he's not doing a good job running his life. Next, we decided that the here and the after and the drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal. We are his agents. He is the father, and we are his children. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we passed through to freedom. So there it is. And in a lot of meetings, this promise is read. And again, I'm sober a couple years, and I'm thinking the promise is just a nine-step promise, like, because you're hearing it at every meeting, at this phase of our development, all this stuff. But look, here's a third-step promise in the big book. So given who I was when I got here, given who I just described to you guys for the last 40 minutes, given that person, this is what happens when I do that. It says, when we sincerely took such a position, meaning letting God be the director of my life now, all sorts of remarkable things happened. We had a new employer being all-powerful. See, we're going to come to find out that when I get close to this God thing, he's not going to solve just my drink problem. He's going to solve all my problems. Because what I'm striving for is emotional sobriety. I'm not striving for that just hanging in there. I'm not striving for that, you know, I'm just undrunk today, but life sucks. Yeah. I'm not going for that. Because if that's what you got going right now, if that's what's going on for you, you might as well get drunk. The book doesn't promise us that. The book doesn't promise me, you know, that kind of sobriety. It talks about that rocket ride, that fourth dimension rocket ride. That's where we're after. It says he provided what we needed if we kept close to him. So he's putting conditions on it and performed his work well. What's his work? I know for me, when I got here, my life was purposeless. Like, I had no purpose in life. I didn't know what I wanted to do, didn't know what I wanted to be. I didn't know who I was. But it was taught to me that if I'm an alcoholic, my purpose has been declared for me. It's to help another drunk, another drug addict. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves. Imagine that, given who I was when I got here. It was all about me. Our little plans and designs, more and more we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. Marry that to your past. Marry that to yourself now. Is it all about you? Is it all about, you know, look at me? Is it all about the job? Is it about the car? Is it about the girlfriend? You know? Because you can't take none of that crap with you when you go. I was taught when I came in, you know, a question was put to me. Legacy. That word legacy. What's my legacy going to be when I leave this earth? Before I got sober, nothing. Like, what were they going to write on my tombstone before I got sober? 1968 to 2000, whatever. That was it. No legacy. Because I was a taker, man. I was sucking life out of people, out of everybody around me. You didn't want to be around me. Not today. So it says, as we felt new power flow in, as we enjoyed peace of mind, imagine that. Peace of mind. I don't know about you, but when I got here, there was no peace of mind. It says that we discovered we could face life successfully as we became conscious of his presence. And this is it. And you get these promises in the third step. We began to lose our fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. Imagine that, given who I was when I got here. Very fearful. It says we were reborn. Nothing about old life back. Nothing about that. I'm able to live two lifetimes in one life with this thing. So it says now we're at step three. Most of us said to our maker as we understood him, God, I offer myself to thee to be with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. In a nutshell, step three, God bless.